How's it going? You good? Awesome. All right, so we've got about 30 minutes. Here's what we're going to do in that 30-minute time span. What I want to do is compare two different leadership styles. All of you, by the way, this is just remarkable. Your worship was outstanding. Thank you for just taking us to the cross and what wealth we have in the cross. Anyway, back to the talk. Okay. So you guys have an amazing opportunity, and you're all going to go out and you're going to impact the world. And you're going to get to choose what kind of leadership style that you use while you're making that impact. I want to compare two this morning. One is very, very popular. The other is incredibly effective. So let's talk about both of those. So, you know, as you heard in the intro, I was at Tyson for lots of years, had the wonderful privilege of being the CEO for about seven of those. And most companies, not all, but most companies, and by the way, most organizations sort of have a pyramid organizational structure, right? So let me, in the environment I'm familiar with, there was a CEO, and then under the CEO, there were like EVPs and senior group VPs and group VPs and senior VPs and VPs and VP wannabes and senior directors and directors, and let's not get that confused, and then managers and assistant managers, and then bless God, the people that actually work. Right? I mean, that's just the way it works. Now here's the problem. Here's the problem. So I'm going to say most leaders inform their leadership model from the organizational structure. Here's what I mean by that. Let's take this SVP for an example. Okay, been around a long time, make good money, impressive title, live on the golf course, got a Mastercraft, four-wheel drive truck. I mean, they got it, right? And typically, how do you think they view themselves, let's say, versus that assistant manager who's just started with a company, doesn't make a whole lot of money, works a whole lot more hours, et cetera. And here's the problem, is they start in their mind, they're saying, you know, this bunch pays me a lot of money. They give me a lot of responsibility, certainly a lot more than that assistant manager down there. And, you know, the reason they do that is I'm more valuable to the company. And then they sort of script the for the company part, and they just say, I'm more valuable. And in their mind, they think that not only are they more important to the company, I would disagree, but they think they're a more valuable person. And that starts changing how they lead people, how they treat people. And it becomes, listen, I'm the boss. I'm the senior vice president around here. You're not. So it's really all about what you can do for me to make me look good, because see, I'm important and I need to look good. Well, I do look good, but I need to keep looking good, right? And they start treating people, other people, lower on the totem pole. You know, we talk a lot about the corporate ladder. Well, here it is, right? Here's all the rungs on the corporate ladder. And they start treating people that are down the ladder with a lot of disrespect and not as important as them, and they feel like that they can lord it over them. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure you've probably seen examples of that. And here's what happens. These self-serving leaders, so I'm going to call this pyramid model here a self-serving leadership model. These self-serving leaders are really driven by two things. You know what it drives them? Fear and pride. So let me ask you something. Pride is easy to get, right? I mean, they're up the ladder and they're saying it's what you can do for me. They use the word I a lot, all that stuff. But what are they afraid of? Well, listen, all of their self-worth comes from their position. And the absolute worst thing that could ever happen to them is what? Get demoted, right? lose their job, go down the ladder because there is less, these people in their mind are less valuable than they are. Fear and pride. Grab your Bibles real quick or open an app. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. I'm going to paraphrase a good bit. I'm going to start about verse 35. You kind of follow along. I'm going to paraphrase, and then I want to dig in verse 42, I think. Okay, so James and John, nicknamed Sons of Thunder, they get that because, listen, these were boisterous. These were type A guys. They wanted to get stuff done. So there's a time when they go to Jesus and they say, hey, Jesus, look, we get that when your kingdom comes, you're going to be the CEO. I get that. But could we be co-COOs? I want to sit on your right. John can sit on your left. But let us be your COOs in this kingdom, and we'll run this thing, man. We'll get stuff done. And Jesus said, do you have any idea what you're asking? Well, sure. He said, can you drink of the cup you're going to have to drink and be baptized with the baptism you're going to have to be baptized in? Sure. Hey, Sons of Thunder, we got this. Okay? And Jesus said, well, you are going to drink the cup. And you are going to be baptized with the same baptism I'm baptized with. But whether you're going to get the right seat or the left seat, that's not up to me. That's up to God. And guess what the other 10 disciples did? They got ticked. I mean, imagine 2 of the 10, we're a team, right? 2 of the 10 come up here and say, hey, can we be bosses and rule over all those guys? And so let's pick up in about verse 45. Let's do it about verse 42. And Jesus called and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Right? We just talked about that model. This is the most popular leadership model in the world because it feeds our ego. But Jesus said, you know that the Gentiles lord it over them. Now, what did he say next? And their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. Whoever will be great among you must be your servant. Skip to verse 45. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. See, there is a better way. Jesus said, don't lead this way. This is how Gentiles in that phrase would, you know, we could probably theologically carry that to those that are not driven by the Spirit of God. They lead this way. Don't do that. There's a different way for us to lead. So here's how I like to think about that one. Where's my green marker? So, when I look at an organizational structure, I don't look at a pyramid. I look at a peach tree. Hey, don't go anywhere. This is going to be good. All right, so here's our peach tree. Y'all obviously need to get down to Georgia more. The peaches are red because they are froze stiff up here, man. It is cold. All right, here's our peaches. Okay, there's our peach tree. A couple more details. Here's the root structure. Okay. Now, let me ask you something. In this pyramid model, who's the star of the show? CEO, right? I mean, you always put the star on top of the tree, right? So, who's the star of the show in the peach tree? The peaches. It's a peach tree, right? It's all about peach. Why does the peach tree exist? To make peaches, right? So, where's the CEO? We know where the CEO is on the pyramid. Where's the CEO on the peach tree? Right there. Think about my job as CEO. My job was to bring in resources. It might be capital, human resources, whatever. My job is to provide resources. I provide stability, structure, direction. If the trunk's leaning this way, the tree's going to be over here.
right? That's what a CEO does. A CEO is not supposed to lord it over everyone. A CEO is supposed to support a group of leaders who are supporting those that are the star of the show, in this case, peaches. Where are the peaches in the pyramid? That's right. They're down here. They're peach juice, right? They're getting crushed by all this ego on top of them. Let me ask you something. So y'all probably don't do this much up here, but if you can take a vacation and go down south, particularly in June, I want you to go to a peach orchard. Georgia's got a lot. Most southern states have some. Go to a peach orchard and walk up to any peach tree indiscriminately, and I want you to ask a peach a particular question. Now, I've done this all over the South. Matter of fact, I've done this all over the world where peaches are grown, and I have asked this question to every peach I can get to, right? And they all answer the same way. Always in English, by the way. Don't know why. Always in English. You go up to any peach and you ask them this question. What do you need? You know what they say? Nothing. But think about it. But think about it. Y'all got it. See, y'all are smart. Y'all got that. Most people, right over their head. All right. But think about it. What is this peach? Listen, it's got sunshine for photosynthesis. It's got all the nutrients and moisture it needs for the photosynthetic cycle. It's got that peach is perfectly resourced to do what it's called to do. Tastes great. Let me ask you something. Let's go to this company. Whatever company this is that's being led this way, what is the chance you're going to go to any one of those workers and ask them, what do you need? And their answer is going to be, nothing. I'm perfectly resourced. I've got everything I need. I'm paid great. You know, my workplace is safe. I've got all the equipment we need. I get great training. I'm perfectly skilled. I know how my job fits into everybody else's job. I know what I'm supposed to do. I don't really need any instruction. My work output is very near 100%. I'm good. I got this. What's the chance that's going to happen? Zero. Why? Because they ain't worried about the peaches. They're worried about themselves. And Jesus said, don't lead this way. Lead that way. So if those leaders are driven by fear and pride, what do you think a servant leader? This is a servant leadership model. What do you think this leader's driven by? What's the opposite? What's the opposite of pride? Humility, right? All right, what's the opposite of fear? Courage? Confidence? Either one. Let's say courage, since this is our CU leadership weekend is all about courageous leadership. So let me ask you this. How many of y'all, listen, we'll do this by a show of hands. Okay, y'all ready to participate? Okay. How many of y'all want to be led by a leader that is like this? Just a fearful, proud, arrogant jerk that it's all about them and what you can do to make them look good. How many, raise your hand if you want to be led by that person. All right, that was an IQ test. Y'all passed. How many of y'all would want to be led by a humble, courageous leader that is all about putting you into an environment where you can thrive? Okay. Drop the mic. We're done. No. So here's what I want to do now. Okay, but how do you do that? Right? So what if we could get into the heart of a servant leader and find out what's in their heart? Better yet, or maybe not better yet, but what if we could get into their head and figure out what they're thinking about? Or maybe even, what if we could look at their habits? Let's see what they're doing with their hands during each day. And wouldn't that be very instructive on how we can be the type of servant leader that will honor God with our leadership style. Fair? All right, let's do that. Real quick, we've got about shy 15 minutes to run through this. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but I want to put this down. And then I think, you guys are smart. You guys can figure out how to develop these thoughts among yourselves and how you can practice the habits of a servant leader, how you can be thinking like a servant leader, and how you can develop a heart of a servant leader. Okay? So let's talk about, we'll start with a heart. All right? I got four words. The first one's care. Listen, I've studied servant leaders for years. Every servant leader I know is a caring person. They really care about their people. I'm going to ask you a question real quick. How do you show people you care about them? All right, here's another question for you. How do you show people you don't care about them? Listen, okay, there's the answer. One way you show people you care about them is you listen, right? You look people in the eye, you put your phone down, and you pay attention. And that says to me, when you do that to me, it says, you know what? You have something valuable to say, which means I have value to you. And that makes me feel good. That encourages me, right? So be a good listener. Listen, pay people well. Treat them right. Show respect. You know, say hi to them. Ask them. Get involved in their personal life. Find out who they are, what they're like, you know, what they love to do, what they hate to do, all those kinds of things. It is easy to show people you care if you care. We need to develop a heart. The Bible says, He careth for you. Jesus cares for us. And He wants us to be like Him, so He wants us to care about others. Every servant leader I know is a caring person. A second word is purposeful. Listen. These folks, they get all their purpose from that title. Not me. Let's say that this is my day. There is something in me that gives me person and meaning. That's my relationship with Jesus Christ and the ministries He has given me to do to fulfill my calling, to fulfill my purpose, right? My role in life is to teach God's word. It's to feed the hungry. It's to care for the poor. It's to care for children at risk. Those are the things that God has called and purposed me to do, right? That's what gives me meaning. Are you starting to figure out what your purpose is? I know it's early, it's young, but you need to be constantly on watch. God, what's my dream? What is a need that I feel passionate about that only I, maybe not only I, but certainly I can have a key input in meeting that need for people? Because God's got a need that He wants you uniquely to meet. You need to know your purpose. Because these people, they think their purpose is to lord it over others. Mm-mm. Our purpose is to honor God with everything we do, which includes the way we lead. And we need to lead His way. Next thing in the heart is courage. Listen, I know I say that a lot. Y'all are listening. I'm going to quit saying that. This is different. This is way different. This is not popular because it's way different. But Jesus, the Bible says in Peter, look, we are a chosen generation. The old King James Version says we're peculiar. We're different. And it takes courage to be different. Listen, any dead fish can float downstream. Right? It takes courage to swim against the tides of popularity. Because this is incredibly effective. It's not very popular. Most people, the overwhelming majority of people lead that way because it feeds their ego. It's not popular to not feed your ego. It's godly. It's just not popular. So you got to have courage to live for Jesus because you're going to be different. And then the last word is principled. Listen, you get to, as I mentioned earlier, you guys are in an awesome position. And y'all are going to get to make choices that most people in the world don't get to make. I deal with some of the poorest people on the planet in Africa. I deal with families. We're doing a project, we're working with families. The average household income is 85 cents a day. Some of the poorest people on the planet. You get choices they don't get. Here's two. Number one, you get to decide your standard of living. You do. Y'all are all going to get good jobs, and you're going to get to decide what kind of clothes you wear, what kind of food you eat, what kind of neighborhood you live in, what kind of car you drive, blah, 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 blah. You're going to get to choose that. They don't. They don't get to choose that. And you also get to choose your standards for living. What are your standards for living? Mine starts with integrity. Mine, I'm going to be generous, and I'm going to use the resources that God has given me to help others. Mine, I'm going to be faithful to my church, to my God, to my family, to whatever work effort he puts me to do. So, and I could go on, but those are some of the principles. And listen, I'm not going to violate those principles for anybody, but way too many people get caught up in the heat of the moment. And when it comes to prioritization, they prioritize their standard of living above their standards for living, and they compromise. And it always ends bad. Always prioritize your standards for living. Don't ever compromise your principles. Be a person of conviction. And all this, listen, Matthew 5:33, this will take care of. So if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all this stuff will be added unto you. Don't worry about it. God's got it. You serve a great, big, awesome God. He can get you a job and a car. He can do that. All right, we've looked in the heart of a servant leader. Let's quickly look at in the head. Now, I'm gonna do this by giving you a book to read, okay? It's a Ken Blanchard book. I love Ken Blanchard. The name of the book is High Five. Ken Blanchard's a great Christian writer. He's written a lot of good business books. I really relate well to what he says. And in this book, I'm gonna go through it real quickly. But in this book, it's a story, it's an allegory, a story about a guy who gets fired. He doesn't get fired because he's not a good, competent. He gets fired because he's not a team player. And so without a job, he doesn't have anything to do, so he starts coaching his son's fifth grade hockey team. Doesn't know anything about hockey, so he gets help, and he gets help from an ancient retired girls basketball coach, Mrs. Weatherby. And along the way through the book, Mrs. Weatherby teaches him the four major principles of teamwork, because if you're a servant leader, what you think about most is how do I get my team to take care of the peaches? It's all about teamwork. And so, in a hockey book, in a Blanchard book, it's got to have a word. The word is puck. Makes sense. All right, four letters, four principles. Number one, principles of teamwork. Purpose, mission, and values. Every team that is a winning team knows exactly why they exist, knows exactly what they're trying to accomplish, and knows the guidelines and guardrails that they will not violate along the way to accomplish that purpose. Second thing, you, unleashing skills through training. Listen, you're here to get smart, but you're not only here to get smart. You're here to learn stuff that you need to then go unleash in this world. And your leadership style is important in how effective you are in unleashing it. So my encouragement is learn all you can about how to lead people God's way. And then go unleash that. I was highly criticized by a lot of my peers in the industry about how much money I spent on training. We spent a ton of money. And a couple of them, you know, guys said to me, Donnie, here's what I don't get. You spend all that money training people. And what if you spend all that money on them and train them and they leave? And my reply is, well, what if I don't spend all that money training them and they stay? So I'm going to take the chance that I can create a culture where they'll want to stay. By the way, with all those, a lot of the things that we talked about in the intro, a few other things that got a lot better. Our turnover was record low during those years, from beginning to end, right? Quality better, beginning to end. Food safety better from beginning to end. Everything got better because we led God's way. We created, by the way, the culture is the soil that tree grows in. And you got to have a culture that will support servant leadership. And that's what we did. Main thing that changed was the culture and the leadership style. C, creating team power. Listen, I think it's still true that the second most popular book in America, other than the Bible, is Purpose-Driven Life. I think that's still true. Purpose-Driven Life starts out, it's not about you. Not about you. Humble courage creates team power to do things together. Make sense? And then the fourth one is K. Keep it positive with regular recognition and reward. Keeping the environment positive. Listen, encouragement I often say feedback is a gift, but encouragement feeds the soul. Real quick story. So a guy that was working in one of the warehouses, one of our refrigerated warehouses when I was CEO, I'd just been named CEO, and so I was going around, starting my tour, visiting all the facilities. So I went to this facility. Phil was running it. And years ago, when I was doing supply chain work, and I only had about 3,500 team members, about 350 managers, I sent everybody a birthday card on their birthday. Simple card, right? So we were talking. Phil pulls out a drawer and pulls out a birthday card, hands it to me. And it was simple. It read something like, "Hey, Phil, I know today's your birthday. Happy birthday. Hope it's a great day. Thanks for all you do for us, Donnie." Now listen, this guy is an accomplished leader. Today, that guy's well into, six-digit salary, makes a lot of money, very important job. He kept a birthday card for 8 years. Why? Because encouragement matters. Be an encourager. It's simple to do, but keep the environment positive with regular recognition and reward. Let people know that they're doing a good job. All right, now, finally, we're going to look at the habits. Okay. I got six of these. The first one is intentional. How many of you have a to-do list? Yep. How many of you have a to-don't list? Three. You need a to-don't list. You need a list of stuff that you are not going to waste your time doing. I get a call one day in February, March of 2009. Company's going through a terrible time. Guy calls me up and says, "Hey, you need to get on so-and-so. He's buying the wrong corporate calendar." Now, the backstory is that we had changed the calendar. It was this guy's idea to change the calendars. Our customers hated it. And so the old style, which is a little bit more expensive, all the other competitors had the same style calendar. And so we would have a buyer go, we would have a salesperson go see a buyer, and the competitor's calendar would be in their cube, right? So they're buying Tyson chicken, but they're staring at a Pilgrim or a Purdue or a Sanderson calendar. Well, that's stupid, right? We don't need them staring at the competition. They may get some crazy idea about going buying somebody else's chicken, which would be nuts. But anyway, so backstory. And so this guy said, "You know what, I'm going to buy just enough of the old style, more expensive calendars to take care of our customers. That way they'll get a daily reminder of how much we love them." And anyway, I got that story weeks later. But anyway, go back to the story. So I said, "Look, I don't care. I just lost $25 million this week. I don't care about the calendar." "Well, you have to care." "No, I don't." Now, I'd probably handle that a little different today, but not much. "I don't care about the calendar. I don't care what the calendar looks like. What do you think about the carpet?" "I don't care." "How about the ceiling tiles?" "I don't care." "I don't like food and cafeteria." "I don't care. Go to Chick-fil-A." "I don't care." right? There's just a lot of stuff that people want me to care about that I don't care about. Why? Because if I care about all that junk, I'm not going to have enough time to care about the stuff that I really need to care about. You know the story of the big rocks, right? You got a plastic jug and you put a few big rocks in it. Is it full? Yeah, it's full. No, it's not. You put pebbles in it. Is it full now? Yeah, it's full. No, it's not. You put sand in it. Is it full now? Yeah, it's full. No, it's not. Some people pour water in it. Don't do that. It just carries it way too far. I tell you who's going to do that. Engineers. They're going to do it. They're going to do it every time because they just got to prove they're right. That's just the way they are. Now, but go back to the story. Don't pour the water in. Then you pour all that stuff out on the table, right? And then you put all of the pebbles and all of the sand back in. How many big rocks are you going to get in? You ain't going to get them all in because you filled up your space with worthless sand and pebbles. That's a great life lesson. Don't you let people fill your life up with sand and pebbles. You got stuff to accomplish for Jesus, okay? Don't you waste your time with sand and pebbles. You figure out what your big rocks are, all right? And you get them in that jug every day. And then if you got a little time left for sand and pebbles, fine. You know, they might make good scenery in the jug, but get those big rocks in there and keep them in there. Focus on what's important. M-T-M-T-T-M-T. Let me write that down. All right, over here. These people need some help. They're bad leaders. M-T-M-T-T-M-T. Let's say that together. All right. Hang on. I'm going to do it like a choir. M-T-M-T-T-M-T. That was terrible. All right, let's do it again. M-T-M-T-T-M-T. Make the main thing the main thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this other will be added unto you. All right, I got five other things real quick. I only have time to mention them. So if you're writing notes, jot it down fast and share it with your friends. Here's the second one. Servant leaders, lead from the middle of the pack. Listen here, if you don't get anything else I say today, get this. Shepherds smell like sheep. It ain't hard. Don't let anybody ever think that you think you're better than them. 3 and 4, accountability and responsibility. Listen, I'm accountable to several people for who I am and what I do. But responsibility. My life is my fault. I don't care what kind of past you had, good past or bad past. I don't care. His mercies renew every morning. Your life is your fault. You get to choose what kind of attitude you get every day. Look, when you drive to work, when you drive to school, you get another life lesson. Rearview mirror's this big, windshield's this big. Look, folks, all the opportunities out there. Don't live your life in your windshield, good or bad. Move on. Number 5, servant leaders pick up trash. Don't ever let anybody think that you would give them anything to do that you wouldn't be willing to do, even if it's picking up the trash. And number 6, servant leaders surround themselves with great people. Listen, if you're going to win races, you got to have thoroughbreds. Get a stable full of them, feed them and water them and turn them loose and let them run. Don't micromanage them. Let's pray. Father, your word clearly tells us how you want to lead if we'll dig into your word and find those truths. You say clearly in your word that this is different and it's going to take courage to do it. You told Joshua to take courage. You say in 1 Timothy 1:7 that you don't give us a spirit of fear. That comes from the enemy. You give us a power of spirit, power, love, and a sound mind. God, we want to be different and we want to lead your way and we want to make a difference in this world. Father, show us the purpose in our life. Show us how you want us to honor you with our lives. And God, we give you ourselves and we give you our leadership style and we ask you to guide us to lead others your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a great day.